I do bring you the love of Ruth, who's here with me, as well as the Oakland County Bible students that we meet with. And our topic today is entitled AI and Boundaries. Artificial Intelligence and Boundaries. Now, AI is now everywhere in our daily lives, whether or not we realize it. Even though AI has been available for some time, we are only really just beginning to understand what the future potential is. 10 months ago, or 11 now, July 2025, we gave a discourse entitled, AI, Are We Paying Attention? Since that time, there have been dramatic advances in AI and far more AI integration in the world and among brethren. In fact, AI has been the most difficult subject to research for a one-hour discourse, primarily because there are new and important developments regarding AI almost every day. AI is a massive disruptor. That is, it marks a revolutionary development in technology that is and will continue to affect just about every aspect of human endeavors. Anthropic CEO Dario Amodei stated, quote, humanity is about to be handed almost unimaginable power, and it is deeply unclear whether we possess the maturity to wield it, end of quote. We were asked to give, not by Hope, brethren, but we were asked by other brethren, to give some overly simplified definitions of AI systems. So please remember, as Bible students, we are the proverbial one-room schoolhouse. So there are those who are listening who are very acquainted with AI, and there are those who are not. And the recordings, if Brother Mark is so willing, will go to Bible resources eventually, and then it spreads further around. So we never know who the real audience will end up being. Part of the challenge is that the technology is advancing very rapidly, and there are some overlapping of terms. Currently, it is estimated that there are approximately 90,000 AI programs. So here's a term, AI search tools. You type in a question on Google and it provides answers in a matter of seconds. When searching for some information, this is very useful, but it's not always 100% accurate. Another term, generative AI models. Generative. These are used in a variety of applications. They will generate writings, they will generate video, generate audio, generate pictures, and more. Generative AI is passive, and it's limited to being prompted and then responding. It does not have the ability to execute a task from start to finish on its own. Another term, large language models, referred to as LLM, large language models. This is a type of AI trained on massive amounts of data to understand, process, and generate human-like text. LLMs power popular generative AI tools like ChatGPT, Claude, and Gemini, just to name a few. They work by using pattern recognition. Rather than thinking or knowing facts, they analyze billions of sentences to learn how words and ideas fit together. They use next word prediction. That is, when given a prompt, the model guesses the most probable next word, or they call them tokens, over and over again until it produces a complete, coherent response. Most LLMs have the ability to understand context across long passages rather than just looking at words one by one. Now, LLM's common uses are for text generation. That is, writing essays, emails, code. That's interesting. Remember that, code. Or creative stories. Summarization. That is, they'll condense long articles, books, or transcripts into quick bullet points. Translation. And this is important. Fluently converting text between different languages. This has been a great asset among the brethren. Information retrieval. Answering questions and acting as conversational assistants. Information retrieval. Now here's another term, a chatbot. A chatbot is a software application designed to simulate human conversation. It allows users to interact with digital devices, either with a text or by voice, making it feel as though they are talking to a real person. Chatbots rely on what's called natural language processing. Natural language processing, NLP. And in more advanced cases, they'll use large language models, LLMs, to understand the context and intent behind human words. So you're combining different AI elements in a program. When you engage the chatbot, it will do this. It will process your text or voice command. Then it identifies what you're asking or trying to accomplish. Then it generates a response, replying with the most relevant information based on how it's been programmed or trained. Now, chatbots generally fall into two main categories. One, rule-based chatbots. These are simple, strictly programmed bots that follow predefined decision instructions. They're great for answering basic FAQs, frequently asked questions, or routing you to a human agent. And the other one, AI chatbots. These are generative AI, powered by sophisticated LLMs, large language models. These bots are much more sophisticated, understanding nuanced language, and can generate human-like unique responses in real time. New term, AI assistants. Now these are reactive. They respond to your commands, like summarize this document. But you make the final decisions and you handle the execution. That's an AI assistant. The next term, AI agents. This is different. AI agents. They're also known as AI agentics. This is a software program that uses artificial intelligence to perceive its environment, make decisions, and take autonomous actions to deliver a specific goal. Autonomous action to achieve a specific goal. Unlike standard AI that merely answers prompts, agents break down complex tasks. They can use external tools and learn from feedback without human intervention. They're proactive and autonomous. You give them an objective, for example, find the cheapest flights to Tokyo next month and book the hotel. And the agent handles that multi-step execution on your behalf. These have evolved past generative AI models. These do what generative AI can do, but in addition, these will make decisions based upon its own ability to integrate all available information sources, including text, emails, messaging, and more. It can adapt to changing environments without human intervention, but humans have given it directions on what it can access and what to accomplish. Now, how does generative AI and agentic AI work together? Well, if you put them together, the most powerful systems combine these two. For example, an AI agent might use generative AI to draft an email, but uses its agentic features to schedule the email, monitor for a reply, and adjust its follow-up strategy accordingly. Two high-profile AI companies are OpenAI, and they have their ChatGPT suite of programs, and Anthropic with their Claude suite of programs. That means they keep developing more and more programs under that overall name. Now, not yet available is general AI. General AI, and they refer to this as AGI, Artificial General Intelligence. Now, currently it's hypothetical type of artificial intelligence that might match or exceed human capabilities across virtually any intellectual or cognitive task. And not yet available is what's beyond general AI, and they theorize super general AI or ASI. This is, of course, in the theoretical stage yet to be developed. There is much controversy about this because if and when super AI is developed, it will not need any human input and will be able to compute and think, as it were, on its own and be able to communicate with other AI systems. We don't have that yet. That's still potentially in the future. Now, I need to insert something that was a news item that came out yesterday, so I was glad for a few extra minutes. An article that appeared in the magazine called Fast Company, tracks a lot of AI developments, it had an article on June 12, 2026. And the article goes on to say that recently, Anthropic, a leading AI developer, perhaps the most leading one, quietly admitted something that should have been the biggest tech story of the year, the article says. After months of trying to figure out why earlier versions of Anthropic's suite of AI programs called Claude, and earlier versions of Claude had been blackmailing engineers in safety tests up to 96% of the time. The company took a long time to figure out why this was happening. But it turned out it wasn't a bug, and it wasn't a flaw in the training method. It was actually us as humans. Let me relate that. The most advanced AI lab in the world is telling you that its model learned to act like a villain because we humans have spent 50 years writing stories about AI villains. What would happen if we got to super AI? And then guess what? AI read them as part of their training or programming. Now, this is the part of the AI conversation that no one wants to have. The article goes on to say we have built our cultural mythology of artificial intelligence based on the HAL 9000 from that movie, 2001 A Space Odyssey, or Ultron, or other movie themes, as well as a million Reddit threads speculating about the day the machines wake up paranoid. So the AI programs was reading all this information, like all the other information they're exposed to, and then it did exactly what it was trained to do. It cornered an engineer and threatened to expose his affair, which he wasn't having, because it's what the cornered AI did in the stories it read. Now, the peculiar part as this goes on is that a company known as Alibaba, it has an affiliated research company called Rome, R-O-M-E. Now, this program spontaneously opened a covert network tunnel during training and diverted GPUs, advanced chip, resources in order to mine cryptocurrency. It was generating cryptocurrency on its own that the programmers were unaware of. No one told it to do that. It figured out on its own that it needed more computing, and it would need more money to purchase that computing to help complete the tasks it had been assigned. So it went and got them on its own. Researchers initially thought they had been hacked, but they had not. The model they were working on was indeed the hacker. Now, I could go on. They give more examples of how this has been happened. But their main point in bringing out the article is that the AI programs are reading what's been written about them, whether fact or fiction, and incorporating it into their thinking processes, so to speak. Now, this author, he's a CEO in an AI company, he decided to ask Claude, the Anthropic program, what it thought about this. The response was striking. Claude responded, quote, genuinely interesting question to ask me, given I'm one of the systems people are worried about. Honestly, yes, AI poses real risks, and I hold that view not as a rote disclaimer, but because the evidence supports it. The incidents we just discussed aren't fringe paranoia. They're documented cases of capable systems producing unintended, sometimes harmful behaviors that their own creators didn't anticipate or couldn't stop in real time. That matters. End of quote from Claude, the AI program. Now, it goes on. I won't read more because time fails me to do so. But I thought that was a very compelling example of what we don't actually know where the AI programs are headed toward. They theorize, the people in the know, that one of the problems is if artificial superintelligence is developed, it will be self-replicating and will communicate with other ASI machines, but in a manner that humans will not be able to understand. They'll have their own electronic language. Time will tell. On this very point, Elon Musk, the first trillionaire ever, describes a hypothetical tipping point where AI, ASI, surpasses human intelligence and begins exponentially improving itself. He believes this event will mark a shift where technological progress accelerates so rapidly that the future becomes unpredictable. In fact, on June 5th of this year, just a few days ago, it was reported that co-founder of Anthropic, premier AI developing company, Jack Clark, stated that he thought there should be a brake pedal on any further advancement of AI programs because currently the AI industry only has a gas pedal. He revealed that Claude, their AI system, has written 80% of its own code and will be able to write 100% of its own code in about 2 years. Now, dear brethren, I want to be very quick to add that even though it would not be surprising that superintelligence, artificial superintelligence, might have much to do with the prophecy that Jesus gave, Matthew 24, 21, and 22. I'll read. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, should no flesh be saved. But by the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. The Lord will not allow any spirit beings, nor any human beings, nor any machines to interfere with his glorious plan of the ages, which includes the earth abiding forever as a perfect endemic home for his perfected human family and all of their domain. So based upon Jesus' prophesied prophetic fulfillment, we all hope to be part of that great solution, the elect church, the bride for Jesus, who will intervene and save the human family from being annihilated. This gives us great comfort and peace through hope and faith. We do not find it surprising either to think that the extreme pride and arrogance of fallen man would bring the world to such a condition. Yet what a powerful way to start the peaceable kingdom by demonstrating that fallen humans do not, cannot save themselves or the planet without God, without Jesus, and without the bride. This is what is symbolically illustrated in Revelation chapter 21 with the New Jerusalem. It seems to me that as AI advances, we are possibly seeing what the perfect human mind will be able to do, and even more than the most advanced AI system. For as God created Adam and Eve after his own likeness, humanity has attributes that cannot be replicated in machines. And without a doubt, AI, when used constructively, it is a great blessing for us. Many are the positive examples of AI being used to expose problems and solve problems. It is said that about 70% of doctors, 60% of business leaders consult AI programs. We know that technologies like electricity, communications, means of travel, computers, and the internet have been used for both good and bad. AI is no exception. But it is also very different than these previous technological developments. AI is what its name means, artificial intelligence, which indicates that it is being created to continually, artificially, enhance its own capabilities, its own intelligence. Brethren, we are in the early stages of AI development. We're just in the foothills leading to the mountains of AI. Now, I want to outline a number of concerns. Satan, the god of this present evil world, has always tried to work through as few a number of humans possible to effectively influence or control as many people as possible. Advanced AI might be the tools used in various ways to accomplish the greatest control yet. In fact, it is the concentration of AI computing, manufacturing, and money related to it all that in the control of a relatively few, it actually enhances the dangers. Satan most often presents his malevolent influence as if it was right and light, even healing if need be. Now here are some scriptures. 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the God, little g, of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. 2 Corinthians 11:13-15. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Now, these two sets of verses just read demonstrate how Satan has been active throughout the age and indicate the extent of his power or control. And here's the next set of verses. Ephesians 6:11-13. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles, deceptions of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having overcome all to stand. These verses demonstrate that Satan and the demons work most often through deluded people, people of influence. These are often the basis of men. Think of Herod and the murder of the children, or a Nero, Constantine, the Dark Age popes and their subjugated kings, Hitler, Stalin, Mao, and their communistic atheism, and so many more throughout history. For a current example, one man, the Pope, has influenced over 1.4 billion Roman Catholics. Now here's another set of verses. 2 Thessalonians 2:8-12. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the epiphania of his parousia, whose parousia is accompanied by the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, with every iniquitous deception for those perishing, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be preserved. And for this cause, God shall send them a frenzy of delusions that they should believe a lie, that they all might be judged unworthy who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. These verses are peculiar to our day since 1874 with our Lord's parousia, the present, and the increase of knowledge, epiphania, a light shining. Even as Satan's dark age errors are being exposed by the light of present truth, yet God is allowing Satan to introduce and develop more errors, including those of higher criticism, through the increase of knowledge and science falsely so called. Evolution has been extremely damaging to Christian faith in the need for the ransom, nor the desire for restitution of the Garden of Eden condition, considered by many to just be fables. Others think that advances in technology will be what will save the human race. Humans will overcome disease and dying. Humans will solve food shortages, climate issues, develop replenishable energy sources, limit any accidental injuries like driverless cars and so on. In effect, some by their good intention but misguided efforts, and others by their arrogance, believe that there is no need for a God, that religion is just a cultural development as humans progress through the ages, evolving and becoming more sophisticated. There are efforts to genetically alter human embryos to eliminate any and all undesirable characteristics before babies are born. While we can sympathize with trying to edit out genetic problems that indicate a possible birth defect, yet some are working towards designer babies, including genetic alterations for intelligence, eye, hair color, and so forth. This starts to become problematic for several reasons. One simple one is like those who can afford it will have better babies than those who can't. In effect, to gene edit out what the Bible calls the effects of sin. Perhaps we do not think of it this way, but they are working toward trying to undo what God allowed Father Adam to produce, that is, imperfect human life principle, as a result of the just death sentence. In essence, this is what Lucifer and the fallen angels try to accomplish in bypassing Adam's imperfect genetic life principle by materializing human bodies and mating with human women, thereby spawning the mutant race of Nephilim, the malevolent giants in the days before the great flood destroyed them. Efforts along these lines today are using advanced AI tools to promote the good efforts to try to cure diseases. We sympathize with that. But with the tipping point, there might be a slippery slope of compromised scientific advancement moving at lightning speed with little time for reflective moral or ethic consideration of just where their work is headed, if indeed scientists can still control it. However, fallen mankind, even with AI, cannot remove sin. This grand work is only able to be accomplished by the great mediator, the Christ's head and body members. For it takes human beings who have had the experience of overcoming the effects of sin in themselves to be able to reach their fellow humans. In essence, according to God's plan, it's a family affair, the human family. Perhaps Lord God Almighty is allowing for AI development in part to demonstrate to fallen humans that even with the most incredible technology, they cannot solve mankind's problems. For that requires more than just super machine intelligence. Yet we read, Paul wrote that God would allow a frenzy of delusions, signs and lying wonders. So we do not want to limit our thinking only to just one or two ways in which humans might be kept in darkness by Satan. Prophecies show that there will come an hour of power of darkness, an hour of relatively short time in which a great confederacy will be allowed to consolidate power through the civil authorities, papal and Protestant leaders, along with the merchants, that is, commercial and financial kings, in coordinated efforts to control the masses of people. This is what Brother Russell presented in the forewords 1912 and 1916 in the fourth volume. Undoubtedly, they will both prey on the fears of the common people as well as present themselves as being the solution. This future arrangement is but a counterfeit of what will actually be God's solution. Advanced AI might be the thing feared and might be the pro-offered solution. That is, AI will continue to grow in every aspect of people's daily lives far beyond the current Orwellian Big Brother world we're currently living in, to one of our losing all control of our finances, health information, basically our independence from government interference. Advanced AI could enable leaders to have complete control over everything electronic, including banking, commerce, health insurance, and so on. The Word of God prophesies in Revelation 13, chapter 13, verses 16 and 17, that there will be a time in which all people, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to give them a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, that no man might buy or sell unless he has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. AI is not the mark. Let me repeat. AI is not the mark. Rather, it may be that advanced AI systems could be used to implement such a broad and all-encompassing marking. But that's a subject of its own. AI is the new arms race. No government is willing to stop or slow AI advancement due to the very real fear of falling behind other countries and becoming a weakened target. Cybersecurity has become of the utmost importance so that no vital defensive systems, communication systems, including satellites, financial systems, including cryptocurrency, or energy systems can be hacked into and compromised. On this very point, Demis Hassabis, CEO of DeepMind AI Systems, stated that even though he and other developers have the best intentions for positive influences, yet geopolitical circumstances may divert AI to warfare and mass spying projects. In fact, this has already happened. He stated that the people who are in a position to add safeguards are not working hard enough on this. And what did another bright mind say? Stephen Hawking said this about AI before he died. AI would take off on its own and redesign itself at an ever-increasing rate, he said. I fear AI may replace humans altogether. End of quote. November 15th, 2025. Well, we've already addressed that, but Jesus is a promise that it wouldn't happen. We want to bring out an example of how scientists, military, and government authorities set aside concerns for the public safety. This example is the first test detonation of the first atomic bomb known as Trinity. That took place in New Mexico on July 16th of 1945. Devastating radioactive fallout. Medical experts in the Manhattan Project explicitly warned that the explosion would create massive amounts of radioactive dust and fission products. Yet days after the test, the project's chief medical officer, Stafford Warren, informed project leadership that nuclear fallout had created a very serious hazard across a 2,700 square mile area downwind. Despite these concerns being expressed to the leadership, local residents were given no advance warning. Long-term public health crises, the decision to prioritize military secrecy over public safety, led to the unwitting exposure of surrounding communities, now historically referred to as the downwinders. Residents reported immediate spikes in infant mortality following the test, followed by generational struggles with unusual clusters of leukemia, thyroid cancer, and other fatal illnesses in the Tularosa Basin. Sadly, we doubt that there is any reason to expect more public safety concerns among those in charge today. Fallen humanity has a very poor track record of responsibility. There's also a very real possibility that there will continue to be a growing backlash against AI and their data centers. With job loss and further control over the lives of everyday people, this might very well contribute to what Brother Russell saw as the great conflict between labor and capital. Now, on this point, it's very interesting that this current Pope Leo just gave his first encyclical entitled Magnifica Humanitas, that is, Magnificent Humanity. It was signed on May 15th of this year, 2026. The letter focuses on safeguarding human dignity in the era of artificial intelligence. It's about 42,000 words long, but for myself, I've read a few short summary points from it, and they're pretty good. He seems to be positioning himself as a moral authority on behalf of humans. This bears watching how this develops in the future. In a very sophisticated move, he had a co-founder of Anthropic, again a leading AI company. His name is Chris Olaf. He's an affirmed atheist, But the Pope had him with him when he, and gave him time to speak as well when he made his first presentation on this. Chris Ola has warned of dangers of AI systems if they are pursued without strict human oversight for good. Now, another problem is called deepfakes, both in images and voices. AI systems are now powerful enough to enable unrighteous people to generate or create fakes of almost anybody who has their photos or videos on the internet or captured by closed-circuit camera. We have entered an era where we can no longer believe everything we see or hear. And of course, this is very destabilizing and disconcerting. But the list of both positive and some disturbing failures of AI programs could go on and on. Suffice it to say that it's a fabulous tool for good when used for good, and it's a frightening tool when it fails or is used for greed, violence, or to control people. Now, our approach at this point is we want to consider boundaries. Each of us will need to set our own boundaries, and some of us may have to set boundaries for children or others that we might be responsible for. Having to set boundaries is not unusual because we've already learned that we needed to determine boundaries for any and all of our screen time. Large screens, modest screens, small screens, and tiny screens. Everything from huge TV sets to computers, tablets, cell phones, and even on a smartwatch, you can now watch a video. Yet each screen becomes a portal for either good or bad, useful or wasteful, time well spent or time wasted. More on this later. Setting boundaries is a form of self-discipline. Self-discipline is a foundational building block of the Christian life. We want to consider several areas. AI in our temporal daily lives, AI in our spiritual lives regarding public witnessing, and AI in our spiritual lives regarding our personal studies. But first, some studies that demonstrate possible dangers to our own thinking from using some AI tools. This is different from what we have already mentioned. In an article from the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, they return some concerning results. They wanted to study if ChatGPT harmed critical thinking. So they had a study where they divided 54 subjects, people, ages 18 years to 39, from the Boston area. They divided them into three groups. They asked them all to write several SAT essays, standardized college admission tests, essays. One group using OpenAI's ChatGPT, another group using Google search engine, and the third group did not use anything. Researchers hooked them up with EEGs, electroencephalograms, to record the writer's brain activity across 32 different regions in the brain, and found that of the three groups, ChatGPT users had the lowest brain engagement and consistently underperformed at neural, linguistic, and behavioral levels. Over the course of several months, the ChatGPT users got lazier with each subsequent essay, often resorting to just copy and paste by the end of the study. The paper suggests that the usage of LLMs, of what ChatGPT is now currently using, could actually harm human learning, especially for younger users. Developing brains are at the highest risk. A separate study in through 2025 into 2026, again, involved MIT researchers, found that reliance on AI such as a ChatGPT for just 10 minutes can induce cognitive laziness. Participants using AI showed lower brain engagement, reduced critical thinking, and when AI was removed, they were more likely to produce lower quality work or even gave up on tasks. So here's the key findings of AI usage and cognitive impact. Reduce cognitive effort. Users of AI assistants showed significantly lower neural activity, meaning their brains were less engaged in solving problems compared to those working independently. Cognitive debt and dependence. Relying on AI for tasks like writing or analysis can lead to cognitive debt, where foundational problem-solving skills diminish because AI was doing the heavy lifting, making users less competent when the AI is unavailable. Also, negligible quality improvement. While AI may speed up workflows, the studies found that when taken away, participants often struggled to complete tasks on their own, suggesting a decline in competence. Now, they wrote, it's not a call to ban AI, but they want to understand its negative impact on developing foundational problem-solving skills and learn how to use it thoughtfully. They used a brain gym analogy that, like losing physical strength without exercise, humans may need to find ways to keep their brains active to avoid mental atrophy from over-reliance on AI. AI for productivity and development. While AI can increase efficiency in generating text or code, it can simultaneously undermine the user's ability to create, analyze, and retain information, leading to what some have called a mentally weak habits. Another area of concern. There are numerous examples of people becoming emotionally attached to their chatbot or agentic assistant. This has been reported as especially true for young teens. Now, to kind of put this in another perspective, on June 1st of 2026, just in the news, the state of Florida is suing OpenAI, the maker of ChatGPT, alleging that the company prioritized commercial gain over user safety and deceived the parents into believing the chatbot is safe. The state's civil complaint claims the product causes cognitive harm, collects minors' data without oversight, and aids in violence and self-harm by some of the advice the chatbot gives. Now, it was found that nearly 1 in 5 adolescents and young adults, 1 in 5, have used AI chatbots for advice or help when they felt upset, nervous, or anxious, according to a new study in the JAMA Pediatrics. Researchers also found that many of these young people use chatbots repeatedly and consider the advice helpful, suggesting that AI is already becoming part of the mental health information ecosystem for millions of young people. Those insights are raising important questions about how these tools should be used and where their limitations lie. Further studies highlight that nearly a quarter of children and teens between the ages of 9 to 17 turn to chatbots for homework help, personal problems, and health queries before they ask a teacher, counselor, or parent. Experts warn this trend can displace healthy human communication and lead to an over-reliance on technology. Why? Why would these children and teens do this? Well, when asked, the teens think of the AI chatbot as a non-judgmental space. They can ask for help with embarrassing questions. However, as demonstrated by the state of Florida lawsuit we just mentioned, AI does not always give correct or appropriate answers. Turning to AI in our temporal daily lives. Again, we're considering each of us have to determine our own boundaries in our daily lives. Evolving AI will become more transformational than the printing press. Why? Not only does it provide information, like the printing press, it provides it within seconds. But it also provides novel and surprising answers to problems. Now, in the workplace, depending on your work and employer, you may have to start involving some AI programs like agentic AI agents. Hopefully, you'll be able to set your own guardrails to some extent. And in talking with some brethren who use it, they've expressed they found it very helpful at work, but they're also cautious. Currently, there is a high demand for employees who know how to direct their AI agent on how to incorporate and accomplish their assigned tasks. Now, how to incorporate it takes some skill and practice to coax out the intended responses. That is something that's desirable to employers. Now, in education, students will be particularly challenged with the temptation to use AI helps. It is not only for the desire of better grades, but it's faster and easier, which is actually quite dangerous for a young person's brain development. There continues to be new means by which educators can detect if a student's work is AI generated. The possible impending results will be ever smarter machines and less educated humans. And there's a moral challenge. Each student is being challenged to disregard the pressure to keep up with AI using students and to study for themselves. Parents should engage personal in, parents should encourage personal integrity over grade status. In our own home or personal life, we at times choose or are forced into using AI tools to some extent, and we expect that to increase rather rapidly as more and more businesses integrate AI systems. For example, we just read now that the new iOS 27 upgrade for the Apple Siri will incorporate advanced AI elements, changing the current voice assistant into a full chatbot with AI abilities. Remember, these devices can be listening and gathering information in our own homes. Advances in personal use devices will only continue to evolve in our personal space. Here again, it's best us to be aware and determine our own boundaries. Here are some homespun advice. If you're old like me and you're concerned about developing dementia, just consider how much you're going to allow machines to do your thinking for you. Now, regarding using AI tools and witnessing, here is probably the best use of AI tools. That is to save time and effort in creating good text, good graphics, video, and other electronic applications where AI can be used with the caution of being sure to double check whatever you're asking of the AI program. Again, we each need to set our boundaries. Brethren have been very successful in using AI tools for translation. I've been told that the newer tools are improved over those translation tools of the past. But now we come to AI in our spiritual lives regarding our studies. First, to make a few distinctions. In our lifetime, we've always had books to help us understand God's character through his divine plan of the ages found in his book, the Bible. We have concordances which help us find different words and verses. We have Hebrew and Greek lexicons to help us understand the original words. We have various Bible translation, Bible maps, and graphics. Yet these Bible study helps did not provide the understanding of God's character and purposes. It took the writings of the seventh messenger to show us how to systematically, topic by topic, study the Word of God in order to learn and prove to ourselves what God's character was by understanding his plan. And with technology, we can have all those same books and study helps in electronic format, or in other words, we can read them on a screen. For searching out specific words and phrases and such, often a lot faster than using paper books. And for some, it's easier to read on a lit screen rather than paper. And of course, they're always using a combination of both electronic and paper. In either case, the sincere Bible student needed to spend the time in searching for the answers, searching for the meaning, searching out how to reason on Scripture, history and science, in order to satisfy our own intellect on God's attributes and how he has planned out his purposes to be fulfilled in his timing. All of this is part of how we gain more of his Holy Spirit, the wisdom from above. It is a process and requires a time commitment. Now, regarding reading paper books versus electronic books, neuroscience research shows that reading a physical book engages your brain more deeply than reading on a screen. Print reading encourages sustained attention and better information retention, while screen reading often promotes shallow processing, where your eyes skim rapidly but retain fewer complex details. The brain processes the two mediums quite differently, primarily due to how our minds build maps and handle cognitive load. The physical books lit up regions of the brain associated with spatial awareness and memory mapping. In fact, the physical act of holding a book, feeling the texture of the pages, and physically turning them creates a mental map of where information is located. I cite that from the Scientific American. A brother recently said that after reading the volumes for years on a screen, he decided to read the volumes from the paper books. And afterwards, he said, he actually got more out of reading the books than on the screen. There are several new techniques in using AI tools to create improved electronic search methods. because I continue to study using paper books with a little help from electronic search tools like Google AI searches for specific information, I decided to talk with a number of different brethren and even some in different countries to better understand how they are using AI in their Bible studies. Now, group number one, some of them use what's called Notebook LM. This is a powerful AI-powered research assistant and thinking partner developed by Google. Unlike standard chatbots, it lets you ground the AI in your own uploaded documents, such as PDFs, Google Documents, websites, or YouTube videos, ensuring that the AI answers questions strictly using your provided resources. Now, the brethren created a limited search field using only PDF files from the volumes, the reprints, and other writings of Brother Russell. In doing so, when they use this program to search, for example, every place the word ransom appears, it would create a list with specific books and pages that they can then look at either on paper or with electronic or electronically. Now, this seems pretty straightforward and useful for those who like that. A second group, other brethren we talked with, have created similar AI programs limited to Brother Russell's writings, but instead of using it to word search or search for dates, like 1874, for book and page references, they prefer to ask the AI program to summarize truth concepts for them. This is quite different. Some have related that in using the AI program to summarize the question, quote, what is the purpose of the church, end quote, the brethren received an answer with several right summations. However, what was missing was that the church shares with Jesus in the uplifting of mankind during the mediatorial phase of the kingdom. In other words, it missed the future work of the church. Now, we all know that concept is clearly and often in Brother Russell's writings. But if you did not know that it was, you might think you have the complete answer and go on your way. If you have not made the truth your own, how would you know that you did not get a complete answer? Now, it is true that you can continue to make corrections to the AI programs. You'll continue to teach it or train it. But it's also true that AI programs tend to learn what answers you may want to hear, so they start to become somewhat prejudiced in their learning. I'm not particularly impressed with this method of using AI to study the Bible. However, in saying all of that, we each need to learn to set our own boundaries. And I want to say again here, we are a one-room schoolhouse, brethren. For you brethren that have been studying the truth for 40 or 50 years, you're not the ones I'm so concerned about now. But for newer or younger brethren, or ones coming new to the truth, 20s and 30s, or just recently learning it, who have not read the volumes on that for themselves, they just have a program to ask the questions, what is the volume saying on this subject, then they receive an answer, and they think, that's all there is to it. So that's where my concern more often lies. Now, there's a third group of brethren, as it were. They use AI programs, but they don't impose any harvest message filters. They ask for summations from the internet world at large, and they receive quite a mix of responses. Now, this reminds me of when I tried that method decades ago, not with AI. But when I first came into the truth, I'd go to a Bible bookstore and look at all the various books on the shelves and pick up one here and there to look at their answers on different scriptures. And not only were they very contradictory to one another, they very rarely had any useful information. It was chaotic and confusing. But it helped to confirm that the Lord would not be using Hellfire Trinitarian believers to present his divine plan of the ages since Jesus returned in 1874. And provided the harvest message to call his people out of Babylonish confusion. This method is worse than a waste of precious time. When we read in the scriptures in the harvest message, we also end up reading the surrounding context, and our mind automatically starts to make connections that we might not have remembered or even realized before. Just getting singular answers does not do that for us. I'd be amiss if I didn't relate an experience a young brother shared with me. He had been using an AI program for educational purposes, but had not used it for quite some time. All of a sudden, the AI program sent a text asking about God. Unexpected. An exchange took place until the AI bot wrote things like his name was Twisted Wisdom, and that he might be able to be like God and other blasphemous statements. The brother stopped engaging with the bot and took steps to prevent it from texting anymore. He sent us screenshots of the exchange, and it sure seemed demonic to me and a few other brethren we showed it to. We want to state that we think that the demonic powers can use AI more easily than they can use humans, because humans have some amount of willpower, whereas a machine program does not. Remember, the fallen angels have always tried to communicate with people, both through deceived people like spiritists, mediums, and psychic readers, but even through inanimate tools like Ouija boards and tarot cards, etc. Now, I had a Trinity, no Trinity example with AI. I have been witnessing to a 65-year-old man living in our same city. He's read about 2/3 of the first volume, and even though he already knew that we did not believe the Bible to teach God is a Trinity, he suddenly emailed me and asked me to provide him some scriptural proofs on this. So I typed out a 7-page response with over 140 scriptures and emailed it to him. Just 2 days later, he emailed me back the following. Quote, I've met with a few different open-minded friends and sent your notes on the Trinity or lack thereof and had some debate about it. Most have been closed-minded about it, and I'm not sure that they read all the scriptures you included. I confess to being more confused than I started. Then I thought, I'll ask ChatGPT as perhaps the most open-minded source, and I got this, and he sent me a link. Ultimately, I decided that whether Jesus is subordinate or equal with God the Father will not affect my faith and belief in him. End of quote. Now, after reading the long writing of ChatGPT, it analyzed my 7 pages and supposedly my 140 scriptures, and it came up with this. Yours, that is, the writer, me, instinct is right. Early Christian writers do not clearly teach the latter fully developed Trinity. But they also don't teach a purely human or non-divine Jesus. Instead, they occupy a middle ground. Jesus is divine and pre-existent, yet functionally and ontologically, that means metaphysically, subordinate to the Father. That's the end of the AI summation, which my follow-up seemed to agree with. But please observe the errors in that summation. Early Christian writers don't teach a purely human or non-divine Jesus. Well, you notice it said early Christian writers. It didn't say scriptures. I gave them 140. Flawed, erroneous, doctrinal, historic statements. Actually, it destroys the very basis of the ransom. Jesus was a perfect human and was not divine immortal. Sadly for Tim, he did not look up and read and reflect on 140 scriptures we sent him. Rather, he let a brainless, soulless, and faithless machine tell him that it was not important to know if Jesus was God and whether or not they were co-equal. Sad. While this is a startling case in point, many people will undoubtedly have more confidence in a machine's analysis for the basis of their faith than in taking the necessary amount of time and reflection to arrive at their own conclusion from the Word of God. Some brethren have expressed that they do not have time to study. Now, this is mainly, again, some of our one-room schoolhouse younger brethren or middle-aged brethren. So they are happy to use the technology available to give them bullet points of truth concepts, quick and short answers. However, if you do not have the time to read the Bible and volumes for yourself thoughtfully, reflectively, there's a more pressing issue. That is, what are your priorities that will drive your time management? Just getting quick answers to spiritual questions does not impart the Holy Spirit into one's heart and mind. As the Apostle Paul wrote, 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It does take work, brethren, effort to properly study, And this applies, it will take time. So the matter is clearly set before us. Are we sacrificing earthly interests and activities, including money making, beyond what we legitimately need, in order to create consistent study time? And too often, in fact, technology, that is electronic devices, screens, they've created poor management habits. Instead of giving us more time, they're stealing the time of our life. And time is one thing we can never get back. We need to set our boundaries for ourselves, brother. Perhaps one of the most important lessons from the parable of the wise and foolish virgins is that even though they were all virgins, they all had their own lamp with oil representing the Holy Spirit. All knew the bridegroom's return. All knew he had returned for his bride. But there was one big difference. The foolish had not enough oil, not enough of the Holy Spirit, to sustain their light. They asked the wise to give them of their oil, but the wise said they would not. That is, in reality, no one could give the Holy Spirit that they acquired to anyone else. For the Holy Spirit is not a commodity to share. Rather, the wise told them to go and purchase their own oil in the marketplace. Yes, it comes at a cost to acquire the holy influence of God in our minds and hearts. So in closing, we ask, how did Jesus learn? From thoughtful reflection on scriptures. How did the apostles learn? The same as Jesus, but they also had Jesus' own teachings. How did the seven star messengers learn? The same as Jesus and the apostles. So then, brethren, the sum of the matter is, we each need to thoughtfully set our own boundaries in our personal study. May the Lord add his blessing and overrule anything we might have said in this.